Let us pray. We thank you, Christ Jesus, our Lord, for all of the grace and mercy you have shown us in times past. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us, that we will always have the strength and the wisdom to face the tasks and obstacles to which you appoint us, that many may come to believe and have eternal life. Amen. I was really happy when this text was appointed to me, because for some time I've been wrestling with this problem of how a Lutheran can give a testimony. You know, in addition to that, I've been postponing an article that I was supposed to write for an editor of a religious magazine. I was interviewing him on a radio program, and after it, he said to me, he says, "Oh, I see you have a lot of interest in evangelism. I would like to have you write an article about your experiences and why you are so interested in it." And I've been putting that off, listening to all of the discussion on testimonies, and now I have this text, which commentators call Paul's short testimony. And he gives us a fivefold outline for a testimony here. Now, first, beginning and the last point deals with our thankfulness and praise of God. The first point is that we thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And now, in addition, I'm haunted by that phrase that Helmut Kielicki continually repeats, and it's often quoted in homiletics, which says, "The preacher ought to drink the soft drink that he peddles." In other words, he should ask himself, what does this text have to do with my experience? Is it something just long ago and far away, or is it really authentic with my experience? So I ask that. He thanks Christ Jesus his Lord, and I say to myself, now wait a minute, is this true to my experience, these points of the testimony? And I go back to my childhood. I test it. My parents were separated, beginning of the Depression, when I was 5 years old. One little baby, the third son, was given off to a maiden aunt, and the other little boy and myself were left with my father, who was an alcoholic. I honor him because he taught us to pray. He taught me this little prayer, and I test that early relationship to God out with what Paul says here about a testimony. And he taught me, is the little child who comes to be blessed, forgive me all my sins and let me sleep tonight in safety and in peace until the morning light. Amen. And you know, I was so dependent upon God that I thanked him for listening to me in the prayer. I really did. And I continued to feel I was a little child dependent upon God who determines the being and non-being, the life and death experiences that Paul had. We know the details of them. He doesn't give them here in his letter to Timothy, but we know what they were, the shipwrecks, the imprisonment, the beatings, and all of that. These were life and death situations, and I say this was a life and death situation when I needed fuel to stay warm at night when it was 38 below zero in northern Wisconsin. There was no food. I remember the taste. The salty taste of the last thing in the pantry to eat was the juice from an empty bottle of dill pickles. Hunger is no rhetoric. And it was this wrestle with life and death. And I would say, God, thank you. And I still do. I check my own private devotions. I still thank God for listening to my prayers. St. Paul says, I thank you, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's authentic to our need for God's help. And I needed his help. And then, of course, the second thing is he asked for strength because I'm appointed to this service. The diaconate, at the service, the old translation was ministry. And it's not only myself that needs his help and this strength for our work and this wisdom. He talked about the God only wise, but my students too. And you know, I have an interesting part of my early experience that I am reminded of so often in sermon delivery class. I decided to study for the ministry. I was involved in athletics and working my way through high school, was on a ball team. And just before graduation, when I would have to deliver the valedictory address to the high school, There was a high fly in the infield. It was a tight game, and we were really trying to win this thing, and didn't think, and I ran together another guy, and the back of his head caught me right here in the eye. Smashed that all down. I had terrible headache for weeks, and swollen shut, and here I get before this audience. I'd never given a speech before. And it's a large audience. The gymnasium is full of people, my friends and my relatives, and I'm supposed to give this valedictory address, and you guys in sermon delivery might know what happened. I got stuck. And you know, those few seconds that passed seemed like 1,000 years. They ask now, they say, what would you do? You know, you preach without notes. What do you do if you get stuck? I said, you can't remember anything. I say, I ask the audience, you know. I said, I can't think of this. What do, can you remember it? Well, that sort of wakes them up, you know. I got stuck. I said, my, we had the minister over for dinner, you know, appointed for this service thing, Paul says, to this ministry. I said, now, how am I going to learn all the Bible? How am I going to learn all these skills? You know, that's the questions you're asking now. And St. Paul says, God gives us the strength in Christ Jesus our Lord for this ministry. And you know, he really needed it. He's writing from prison here to Timothy. This is another life and death situation. And we know what that is in the ministry. Already in 1948, on Christmas Eve, when I was studying, I was working in a night clerk in a motel, while I was studying for the ministry in a seminary. And late on Christmas Eve, 1948, car drives, nice new car, Venetian blind in the back window, late at night, checking into the motel. Three nice dressed guys. And one short, thin-faced, dark-haired fellow signs this register, goes into the motel. A few weeks after that, the federal narcotics investigator comes in. He comes with a stack of pictures, and he plays these pictures off. He says, you recognize any of these fellows? I picked out a picture. Sure, I know this guy. I've seen him. Uh-huh. Did you fill out this little card? There's my writing. That license number? Yeah, that's from a stolen car. Describe the car. I said, a Venetian blind in the back window. Yes, he says, we caught him with a stolen car with a stolen license plate. Those guys were all murderers and robbers, escaped from penitentiaries. They robbed a mutual drug company of $50,000 worth of drugs. It's a part of a large crime syndicate. You will testify, give your testimony in court against them. Oh, they got word to us, the detective said, that they will knock you off if you do. They'll knock me off now. But don't worry, we'll take care of them. We'll put them, if you testify, we'll put them where they won't knock anybody off. So they hauled me back and forth to the testimony in the court, but I wasn't trusting all that much in these detectives. I went to one of the other seminarians and said, your brother-in-law is a policeman, isn't he? Yes. Well, could you get me a .38 police revolver? Yes, I'll buy it. And I drew the blinds that night, and I had that revolver ready. But you know, this is the resistance that you come against when you not only know the normal problems of life and death situations with the shipwrecks and the storms, but you also encounter the resistance to the good, the true, and the beautiful that is found in the Christian faith. We need help. We remember the student of our seminary came up against the violence of crime when he was going out to California to be ordained, and for getting a can of gas along the highway. I read about this because it became a national issue on capital punishment for the guy that murdered him. These are life and death situations, not only long ago and far away, back there in Malta in the shipwreck, or the prison to where he writes, from where he writes to Timothy, but they're now. And he says you should be an example to those who believe. And then he recounts all of these sins. And you know, those of us who come from the masses, we remember only too well the problems of this world, of which Isaiah says we are men of a generation of unclean lips. And we need that Spirit of God's strength to touch us and to sanctify us. And St. Paul says, yes, I blasphemed, persecuted, and insulted. I had a negative, narrow philosophy of life. But the love of Jesus Christ came into me, and that was a grace for saving all people. And that turned Paul on. That motivated him. And he wanted credibility to Timothy at this time, that Timothy would be motivated to stand for the truth in Ephesus. And we want to do that too. I'm proud of our church. The strength of the Holy Spirit has been in our church. I'm reminded You know, we got 3 billion people that are on church in the world that we're supposed to bring as the example of the faith that they might believe to them persuasively. How are we ever going to do it? We need God's strength. And I think of Dr. Walter Meyer. I am glad to be in this seminary. I told you that young boy, dependent upon God. And I listened to the Lutheran Hour. I remember I was sick, playing basketball, had a bad infection in my lungs, had to stay home from church. At that time, I was going to church already and confirmed. And then I heard him preach on that Christmas season on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be here because Walter Meyer, his son, is here, and I have his son, David, in my class. It's good to be part of a movement in a church that wants to reach the unchurched people of the world. I remember in Lausanne, Switzerland, interviewing Pech, a pastor who is the Lutheran Hour preacher for Germany. And I got this microphone here. It was just actually this microphone. I got that thing there, you know, I'm talking to him with the microphone. And he said, my dad was an atheist, leader of the Luftwaffe during the Second World War. And he says, after the war, there was only one option, and that was the church and Jesus Christ. So I became a part of it. And now I'm a preacher for Lutheran. I looked over on his lapel, and he had a little gold cross on it. And I recall that when I was a kid, I rode into the Lutheran Hour, and I got a little gold cross, and I put it on my confirmation lapel, and I lost it later. I said, hey, did you get that? Yes. I said, you know, I lost mine. And during the radio interview, he took off his little cross, and he screwed the screw back on and gave it to me. That's a precious remembrance. And it symbolizes the great efforts that we're putting forth to bring the example. You know, that's an interesting thing. The formula for testimony is the Greek word here could also be example. It was an outline for a sketch for a painting, or it was an outline for a story, a piece of art in writing. It's an outline for our testimony. And then, for what is the testimony? For eternal life, that the believers may have eternal life. Paul knew what that meant. This is for the Easter season. You remember what he said? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, as he faced the death and the grave. We know what that is. It doesn't take all that long in the ministry to know shipwrecks today are plane wrecks and auto wrecks. And I remember at the high speed when I was driving on a smooth, open highway early in the morning to go to preach the first communion service for the first confirmation of one of my students who graduated from the seminary. And the children all in a car and a wife, and the little girl says from the back, look, Daddy, there's a big deer driving way too fast. I didn't get a ticket, and I would never want to confess how fast I was going, because I was lost in the woods on that road thinking I wouldn't get to that church, and the preacher says, get here early, we got to rehearse. And bang, the hood comes over here, and we are totally out of control. And a little child jammed under the hood. The kids are screaming. We skid 250 feet straight ahead, and then it goes out of control. The trees on the right side, ditch of water 16 feet deep back there, and the Wolf River. But we're farther now, and it's skidding there. I remember I thought of death and turned away your tipping. And I turned and turned and turned, and the car actually skidded on the metal and didn't tip. Back into the ditch and down that mud, always the steam from the radiator and the hood, everything always coming over the windshield. Now it was mud from that ditch and water and tall grass, and I kept ducking. And we got out of there with my wet robe alive and got onto that road again. And you know, when I need strength, now I remember this message of the resurrection. I live on borrowed time. Thanks be to God. I got the energy to go up there and to proclaim that others may have eternal life. And he ends this testimony right there with that same kind of a praise to the immortal, invisible, God only wise. Amen.